at Van Bono, and I'm with Jean-Noël de Saint at his home in Sarsfield, and we're not sure whether it's the 18th or the 19th of October 1991, but it's Saturday. Now, Jean-Noël, what's your current address?
2800 Colonial Road, I guess.
Okay, and that's in Sarsfield.
Sarsfield, Ontario.
Now, your date of birth, and if you prefer, you can just give me the age range here.
Oh, I can give you my date of birth.
Okay, you're not
it's
shy.
The 25th of December, 1918.
Okay. What would you consider to be your family's ethnic origin?
French.
French-Canadian?
French-Canadian, yes.
And what would you consider to be your family's religious affiliation?
Roman Catholic.
Okay. Have you lived in Cumberland Township all of your life?
Yes.
Right. And just a rough estimate of how many generations has your family lived in Cumberland Township?
Well, at least three before me.
Okay. Now, I'm going to skip over the next question, or the next few questions. Can you tell me about the first funeral you ever attended? You said you remember the first corpse you ever saw.
Yes. The first corpse I ever saw, I guess, was... I don't know if it was my grandfather, my godfather. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was about 4 years old, they brought me to his wake. He lived in Ottawa. He used to be a resident of Sarsfield, but he had moved to Ottawa, and they brought me there. And there was another one about the same time. I know this one was in 1922. It was Victor Philip, who was a storekeeper here in Sarsfield, and this made quite a commotion in the community here because he was only 28 years old, had three children, and he was a storekeeper, was well known, and he died in the a hunting accident in the province of Quebec or someplace, and he had been shot in the hip, and I know that this made a lot of talk, you know.
So it would have stayed in your mind.
Yes, and I remember going to his wake because it was right in the village here. I remember the coffin because I think that was one of the first. I don't know if it's this one. I think they both died in the same year, but I was not quite 4 years old at the time. So that was in 1922.
Yeah. So it was common for children then to attend funerals at the time?
I don't know if it was common, but I know that I was there. Mm-hmm. I can't say that it was common, but I think they brought children to wake, so... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you mentioned a coffin, so the corpse was in a coffin?
Oh, yes, the corpse was in a coffin, and it was a pretty nice coffin, too, as far as I can remember.
Would it have been a coffin that came from a funeral home?
Oh, it must have been, yes, it must have been, definitely, came from a funeral home, because it was, I remember, it was very, very well done, and I remember there was... the one for Victor Philip, there was patterns on the coffin, like of leaves, and like
really?
That, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this, what, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. So
and I think the other one that I remember, it was gray.
Mm-hmm.
It was gray, but it must have definitely come from a funeral home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Were these individuals laid out at home?
Yes. Oh, definitely, yeah.
Was that a fairly common standard practice in your memory?
Oh, yes. I'd say that until the 1950s, most of the families kept their dead at home after to wake them. I think that popularized because I remember my dad died in 1948, and he was waked at home.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother also died in 1948, and he was waked at the funeral home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But until that time, I think the practice was at least in the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was there a specific room in the house?
Oh, it could be the parlor.
It
could be the parlor.
Okay. And who would do the laying out? Was it someone, a funeral director?
Yes. As far as I remember, but I remember I was told definitely a little bit before my time, like in the time of the Spanish flu, 1918 and the 20s there, it was done by the local people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here, the parish had a hall, and they had bought several caskets.
Oh, really?
Yes, because at that time it was, you know, with the communications that there was at that time, it wasn't always easy to go and you needed a casket sometimes when you least expected it. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
So I know that the priest had in his in the entrance of the in a part of the hall there, they I remember when I was young I used to go there and there was caskets there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was the sort of the usual length of time before burial?
I think it was about 2 nights.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
2 days at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Two days and 2 nights, and sometimes it was 3, I think.
And following, when a person was waked at home, then they were taken to, the corpse was taken to the church?
Yes.
For Mass?
Yes.
And
yeah.
Then taken to the cemetery from there?
Yes.
Was there any kind of a procession?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember. Oh, yeah. A lot of buggies and cutters and...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. There
would
was
that
a procession.
Be from the individual's home or from the church?
From the individual's home to the church and from the church to the graveyard.
Okay. Anybody on foot? Or was it always...
Well, anybody on foot. No, not that many on foot. Not in small villages like...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in places like Rockland, if you went to a funeral in Rockland, a lot of people on foot there.
Mm-hmm.
Because... The funeral home and the church is not that far apart,
okay.
You know.
So that would be sort of a difference between a rural setting and a more urbanized setting.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And all the churches were equipped with the large horse sheds and...
Okay. Was there any special... Okay, maybe we can go back here for a minute. You mentioned awake,
mm-hmm.
and that somebody was waked at home.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? Okay. What do I mean by wake? Well, there was always somebody up with them.
Yeah.
They never went to bed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All the people never all went to bed.
So there was a vigil.
And in the Roman Catholic tradition, about every couple of hours or something like that, there was a prayer said,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And there was candles lit.
Mm-hmm.
And what else can I tell you about it?
But there was a vigil.
There was a vigil.
Okay.
Yes.
And this was from the time the individual died until they were...
From the time the individual died. Well, from the time he was exposed.
Mm-hmm. Laid out. Mm-hmm.
Laid out. Until the time that they left for the funeral.
Mm-hmm. That's no longer the practice now with the use of the funeral homes.
No, no. They close the funeral homes now and the people go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Now, you made an interesting comment about keeping them home to wake them.
Yes.
Do you see this was sort of the role of the family? Like, did you sort of... You know, when someone goes
tradition,
to the funeral home.
I guess it was the tradition,
yeah.
And people helped. Neighbors came. You always had to have lots of food.
Mm-hmm. Who provided the food, or how?
Who provided the food? I think that most of the time it was the family, but I guess in most cases some of the neighbors pitched in, you know, and brought in some of the food.
Okay. Was there any...
But the main food came from the family, I would think, yeah.
Was there any special type of food that was always served at funerals that you
had? Not that I remember of. It was sandwiches. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about clothing? Was there any special type of dress that the mourners wore or members of the family?
Black clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was young, the widows always wore a veil.
Mm-hmm. What about the corpse? Was the corpse dressed in a...
Oh, no, I think in its ordinary.
Clothing.
The better clothes.
Best clothing.
Yes, best clothing.
But the coffin was open?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
No. The only wakes that I went to were the coffin was closed, or somebody that had been drowned or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So it was an accidental death?
An accidental death, yeah.
Okay. This would be fairly common for the French Catholic funerals that you attended.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously there's been changes over the years as mm-hmm. funeral homes came in and that sort of thing.
Yes.
What about other funerals that you might have attended in the
yes.
community? Did you see a difference?
No, I don't. No, whatsoever. I don't know.
Not between Irish or French, or what about Protestant to Catholic?
I never seen much difference. You go there, you make a silent prayer, and you offer the people their sympathy,
mm-hmm.
and then from there, I haven't been at that many. Protestant funerals, I've been at a few, and I never was in the church, because most of the time, if it's a popular person, the church is not big enough
mm-hmm.
for all the people to go in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But,
so you couldn't comment on the religious services
no,
being different?
No, I couldn't.
Yeah, okay.
But,
with Protestant families, it's becoming more popular now to have a service at the funeral home, at the chapel.
Yeah.
What about the Catholic? Is that acceptable practice?
I've never seen it.
No, okay.
I've never seen it. Maybe there are some that do it. I couldn't tell you. But the very large proportion go to their church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I'm going to... These are supplementary questions that sort of come up over the other interviews that I've done. What about gravestones? Was it common practice to have a gravestone?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And
as far as I can remember, we always had a gravestone, and there were several gravestones in the graveyard there as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about somebody who perhaps couldn't afford a gravestone? Was there?
Oh, yes. There were some of them that only had a cross or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, most of them was a cross. There are still some. They're in the, some of the metal crosses have been kept, but the wooden crosses that was at that time, I guess they're all pretty well gone.
Just deteriorated.
Yeah.
That sort of brings up a question as well with the idea of finances involved. What about funerals of the very poor families? Would the church have played a role in contributing to the cost of the funeral?
Oh, possibly. I couldn't verify this, but the fact that the priest had bought caskets.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure that wasn't for the very well to do.
Yeah.
You know. It must have been for those that were caught short-handed or that couldn't afford it, eh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that they would have a dignified
mm-hmm.
funeral, possibly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about cemetery plots? Was it fairly common for a family to have a plot?
Yes, or? Yes, it was. It was.
Mm-hmm. And there would be a number of family members who would be interred in that plot over the years. Okay.
Sometimes a couple of generations.
Mm-hmm. To your knowledge, were there any private cemeteries in the area? Or with Catholics, I guess the onus is to be buried within consecrated ground.
Yes.
Had you ever heard of any family burial grounds in the area?
Never. Never. No. No. I never heard of anyone being buried in that I remember of in other place than in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about flowers? Do you recall flowers?
Yes.
Private cemeteries?
Yes.
Funerals?
Yes, but I recall flowers, but that's a little bit of a modern tradition, I think. Mm-hmm. In my young days, we used to see vigil lights. Oh. Candles or something. At that time, I don't think people used flowers in funerals that I remember of.
Now, vigil lights, would they be at the cemetery or?
No, in the house.
In the house.
In the house, yeah. From the time the corpse was being exposed, they always had a vigil light there.
What about the tolling of the bells? Was that
done? Oh yes, yes, yes. That's an interesting one. Yes, I remember when I was young and until just a few years ago, when there was the tolling of the bells. When it was a man that died, the bell rung 9 times. Ding, then stop, and another one. And then they go this way, you know. I don't know how do you say that in English. That the bell had ring
a number of times.
More rapidly. That's
yeah.
A ring around. They ring rapidly, and then they'd stop and they do that 3 times. 1, 2, you know, 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
And just one dung, you know, you could count them. Well, if you heard the bell from a mile away, you know that, there was somebody in the parish had died, and you knew if it was a man or a woman. Because for a woman, it would ring 7 times, and for a man, it would ring 9 times.
Oh, really? Isn't that interesting? Now, the bells would be rung at the time of death?
Yeah, at the time that it was announced. At the time that it was announced to the priest.
See, in England, they told one, there was one bell for each year of a person's life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, for each year of the person's life?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that would be quite a, if the person died at 90.
The practice has stopped.
Pardon?
The practice is pretty well stopped, eh?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Why?
Yes.
You know, any idea?
Oh. For the lack of a bellman, first of all, mm-hmm. For the lack of priests.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We don't have a resident priest, and we don't have nobody that's appointed to ring the bell.
Mm-hmm.
So we ring the bell now at the beginning of a ceremony or when there's a christening or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody appointed to do it.
Yeah. You brought up the role of the priest. I know another Catholic individual that I interviewed mentioned that this is one thing that she sees as being different, was that before, when someone was on the verge of death, the priest was always called.
Yes.
And she said now, in a lot of cases, the priest, you know, isn't a resident, so it's harder to get a priest.
Yeah, that's this, definitely.
Yeah.
That's definitely the case.
How is that wrecked, or how do you reconcile to that as a Catholic, because it's very, very important to have last rites?
Yes. Well, I don't think people wait that long today to get the last rites.
Okay. So they have the last rites before
when
it's absolutely necessary.
You have a terminal illness, you can have it 3 weeks, a month before you died. I had a sister-in-law that died just, she was buried on Monday. And she had the last rites a week or so before she was in her full knowledge
mm-hmm.
of everything that was going on, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think Well, today they're in the hospitals, and they have.
They have a priest on call.
They have a priest on call at any time. It's much different, but I think people have just as much chance of having the last rites
today.
Today, unless it's an accident. The priest is not available as he was at that time. He used to call the priest house and the priest was available. Today, if we call the priest, we have to call Ottawa, and if he's on another duty somewhere, well, maybe he'll get the message at 9 o'clock at night, you know.
How common was the practice of embalming, as far as you know?
Yeah. As far as I know, the practice of embalming, I went to wakes where there was no embalming. I still remember the smell.
But otherwise it was a fairly common practice.
Oh, yes.
And this would be something done by the undertaker.
This was something done by the undertaker, but I know of some cases where it wasn't. I remember of some cases. Today there isn't, but I remember of some cases where it wasn't done. It was done just by local people. They were fixed up and dressed and.
Okay, so the funeral home really has come more and more into the fore as time has passed.
Oh yes, much more.
How much of the role of the funeral home do you think is associated with the increasing role of the funeral home? There's been a couple of interesting comments I've heard about, the funeral home spared so much for the family. I also wonder if that's sort of one of the reasons for the increase in use of the funeral home, or if it's more a case of money being more available too.
Well, I would think it would be both. The fact of the funeral home took a great deal of stress and mess and work out of what was being done at home for, you go there and you come back. The fact that the money wasn't available too,
I guess there really weren't the number of funerals.
And the funeral homes at one time weren't equipped for the crowds, or they weren't equipped. If there was two deaths at the same time or something like that, well, they had to take one, the other one had to be, waked at home.
Mm-hmm.
But today the funeral homes are so well organized that, and the number of them too,
yes.
You know.
Which funeral home would have been the one that most widely used in the area, do you know?
Oh, Rockland, definitely, in this part here, but there was also an undertaker at Bourget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the undertaker at Bourget did not have a funeral parlor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was an undertaker and that's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about tanners at bars? Was it used much by the Canadian population?
Not here,
mm-hmm.
No. He may have had some funerals here, but I don't remember him very much.
Mm-hmm.
No. The brunette from Rockland.
He was the popular one. Yeah.
He must have had some funerals.
Yes.
Here.
Well, he knew Father Laflamme very well.
Oh yeah. Oh well. Yeah.
But you see, Father.
How old is Harold?
80.
80. Okay.
Oh wait a minute. No, let's see. He was born in 1910.
1910 or 81, huh?
81.
Yeah, okay.
And of course his father was a very
Oh, yes, I know he must have had some here, definitely.
But
definitely.
He also went to Carlsbad Springs, and I don't know, would Father Laflamme have gone that far?
No, I don't think so. Well, Father Laflamme was here for 43 years.
Yes.
In Carlsbad Springs, they changed priests.
Yeah, so he would, that's right, I remember when he was talking about Father Laflamme, because he had an anecdote. And it was from somebody, an Irish family at Navan, that's what it was, and they were
everybody knew, all the Protestants knew Father Laflamme, you know, he was here so long.
It was a Catholic, Irish Catholic family from Navan, and they were coming to the church here, that's right.
Yeah.
And that's why I met.
Oh yeah, but all the Protestants knew him too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Oh yeah, everybody knew him.
Well, apparently he was a great friend of Harold's father.
Yes, oh yeah, George, Alfred, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, he possibly borrowed money from him.
Father LaFlamme?
Oh, right? Yes, he would. He'd tell him it was for such a great cause that old Half couldn't resist.
He was quite the fellow. I think we're going to have to do an interview about Father LaFlamme one day, because I think he was, particularly for the French population, he certainly was a key figure in the community.
Oh, he was really a guiding light, and he was so outspoken, and he didn't know where he was, if it was the Prime Minister or the Bishop or whoever it was. He spoke out exactly what came from the heart. Exactly what was his convictions, whether they were right or not. If they were his convictions, then he spoke out, you know. And he was appreciated for that, you know.
Yes. Okay. How would you say the funerals that you've attended over the years differed as time has passed? Broad statement. I mean, we've covered a lot of the things as we've gone through. Anything you can think of that we might not have covered?
No, we went from the horse and buggy days to the nice big Cadillacs that they have now for, besides, debt today is much more civilized, if I can use that word.
Yes.
Than it was, as far as I can remember, you know. Debt at that time, when debt passed, it was a terrible thing. Today, I think people accept debt as a thing that everybody is going to go through, I think it's more, well, I don't know if civilized is the right word to...
Sanitized.
People have more money, and it's not the same as it was, as far as that was concerned. I think people today accept that better than they did years ago. Don't you think so?
I don't know. I come from a different background. I came from an urban background, and for me, coming to Navan has helped me accept death better, because it's part of everyday life here. Because I know older people in the community. Whereas before, living in town, the only people I knew who were older people that I was close enough to go to funerals were family members. And my family was all in England, so the first funeral that really touched me personally was my father's. And that was just very recent. And I'm grateful for having come here and lived in Navan first, because I had attended a number of funerals in the community. Before that, I think it was my husband's grandmother, was the first funeral I ever attended. And that was, I was married and had children.
And the fact, too, I think that people go for a coffee afterwards, and that helps to console.
Yes, stop one moment, I have to turn the tape over. Hang on, keep that thought.
Okay.
Okay, you were mentioning the role of going afterwards.
Yes.
Is this not a common practice?
Yes, it is a common process for the last 15 or 20 years, but it wasn't. Years ago, after the funeral, everybody went home and mourned. And,
And
now, this, I think, you know, when they see that all the people that have come to participate in the funeral, and then there's a little lunch and a coffee after, I think it helps. Just now, I come from Lalonde's there, you know, and I didn't have a chance to go when he was awake, but I went there, and Miss Lalonde looked very well, and you know, she appreciated so much everybody that came there after, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it helps to...
helps to make the passing a little easier.
I think it does.
I think what you said was right. I think that people come to take part in the funeral, and really, unless they go back for a coffee afterwards, they really don't have a role except just to be there.
Be there, or
yes.
Offer their prayer.
Yes, oh yes.
Yes, but... yeah, but the fact that they come and sympathize with the family and meet other friends, and I think that's a big help.
Yes.
I think that's a big help. And that's a tradition that was developed only, I guess with the coming of the community halls and the community in the school halls. Before that, you didn't. Most of the parishes had a hall,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times those halls weren't heated in the winter and all this stuff, you know, and it would have been a big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But today people meet in a community hall.
Yeah. There was sort of an idea of a celebration afterwards. Was that a common experience in a French family?
Not many families, but in some families.
Okay.
In some families, they always have. Well, let's call it a party.
Yes. What?
That's not common. No,
that's not.
It's
common?
Not common.
Okay.
But I know one particular family that do.
Mm-hmm. And this would take the role of a celebration of the person who had died, or is it just because everybody's together? You know, would you say?
Both.
Yeah, okay.
I remember going to one, and they offered a drink at one time, and this was the person that had died,
mm-hmm.
that had mentioned that in his last will, that he wanted to pay
the
drink to it.
Buy a drink for everybody?
Yep.
Yeah. So alcohol played a part of it too?
Oh yes, yeah.
But that's not common?
That's not common.
Okay.
No, that's not common.
And it wouldn't be related to this individual family's ethnic background?
Ethnic.
Irish, French?
Well, they were French. These are French.
Yeah. So as
yeah, but I don't know if you'd call it related to ethnic background.
No.
It's called to their customs.
Yes, their own particular.
Yeah, they love parties.
Yeah. My brother-in-law probably the same. Yeah.
But this is not.
It's not a standard practice.
It's not a standard practice. Yeah. The standard practice is to have a very dignified.
Yes. So where do
get together?
Tell me, where do all these wonderful stories come from of an Irish wake with the jig around the body?
I never heard of
these. It's not been your common experience.
No,
obviously.
No, I never heard of these things.
This is what I found. My thesis has gone right out the window. I started with this idea that there was sort of an Irish funeral and a French funeral, and that the two were quite different. And they weren't at all. This is what I'm finding.
My stepmother was Irish. And she died in 1939. She was waked at home. I didn't see any difference at all between the, and I went to old Mr. McDonald's wake in Navan when I was a young man, and I never seen any difference.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, because what I'm finding through the interviews that I've done is there seems to be more of a difference because of religion. If a person was Catholic or Protestant, this is the difference. And also, depending on how much money was available to the family.
Yes, the amount of money that was available to the family, of course, always played a role in what you could afford and what you were willing to spend on a funeral, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well.
Concerning funerals, another thing I've got, that I should mention,
mm-hmm.
in the Roman Catholic tradition years ago, there was different, different, how do I say that? Different funerals, different classes of funeral. A real first class funeral, you had three priests, one at the main altar, and then there was two priests at the side altars that celebrated Mass too. But you had to pay more for that.
Oh, I see.
And the next step down was a funeral with one priest saying Mass and two assistant priests. And then the common funeral with only one priest. And I think they had a different price for
really?
Funerals at that time. Now, so if there's three or four or five or a dozen priests, it's because they come on their own will and they co-celebrate with the celebrant, and there's no charge.
Oh, really?
No. Not there's no charge, I mean, for the
extra
priest. No.
Oh, I see.
At, like there was at that time.
Yeah.
But years ago, 30, 40 years ago, that was the case. That was the there was a funeral first class, second class, third class.
So this would, the funeral would, the type of funeral an individual had would say a lot about that individual's standing in the community.
Yes, or yes, possibly, or what he wanted to spend on the funeral or something. Yeah, yeah, it would have. It would have.
Yeah. That was there was a comment made to me similarly along the lines of the number of people who attended. That there was almost a common practice, or as a fairly common practice, to note the number of people who attended, and the more people who attended, the better known this person was in the community. So it was a bit of
I think this is still the case. A person that's not well known, there's not very many people go to the funeral. If it's if it's a new person in the community and not very many people know, the people died and are buried, and we don't even hear about it.
And see, as born in England, where funerals are not different funeral traditions entirely, very very different. Closed coffin, exceptional to have an open coffin. It's not done at all.
Oh no.
Cremation, the rule, in Wales, only men attend funerals, where my father is from. Yes, women did not attend funerals. Yeah. So different.
Women did not attend funerals.
No, very different traditions, you know. But a whole country away, they don't seem to have brought some of those traditions with them. The tradition that seems to stick is the Irish idea of the wake. You know, everybody I've talked to refers to the wake, which is very Ottawa Valley.
Very Ottawa Valley?
Oh, yes. Never heard it used in that terms until we came here.
In Western Ontario?
No. You go to the funeral parlor, but they never use the term that somebody was waked. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's very peculiarly Ottawa Valley. I knew that before I started this paper, so I wasn't really surprised by that. But it was just interesting to talk to each person and find their different perceptions of what the wake is, you know, because I had always associated it with an Irish wake, and this is why I expected to find sort of a strong, because the Irish as a people tend to, their culture tends to come to the fore. You know, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's.
You never inquired about how wakes were done years ago in France?
Never have them.
No?
No. I'll tell you about
what
France.
I know of, what I have heard, they're very surprised here when they come to see our beautiful funeral palace. There, when death passes, is really death. It seems. I don't know how much money they spend on a casket or something like that, but I've seen places, I've heard of they just laid on a table and covered with a...
Well, in France...
And that they, when coming, wanted to see them, they just lift the...
The cloth
The cloth,
In France, my research has pointed out that in France, now this book was written, that I was reading, was written in the early 70s, so I don't know how much has changed. When an individual dies in France, their body has to remain where the individual died for 24 hours.
In the bed where he died?
Yes.
Okay.
They're not allowed to remove the body. So now I don't know what they do if somebody drops dead of a heart attack on the street, for instance. I'm not sure. This is literally the case. The body has to remain where it is, and it's before a certificate of death can be issued. Okay, and then once the certificate of death can be issued, then embalming can proceed or whatever else.
Okay.
But very much linked with on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
All funerals are a municipal responsibility, which is very different. If you have a funeral, you go and rent the hearse from the municipality, you rent the coffin from the municipality. Now, ours is getting in the building of...
communes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear much about communes over
yes.
there.
Well, the community provides this service. And if you want, you rent the drapes. Even, of course, it's very much removed even from the role of the church.
Because
I was surprised. With being a Catholic country, I expected to see that, but it was removed.
Well, here, because the church moved into a lot of things like that, because nobody else was doing education. Mm-hmm. No, there was nobody. So it's the church that took the role.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals. Mm-hmm. Who built the first hospital?
Mm-hmm.
It was the church.
Mm-hmm.
There was,
there
were all services that were provided by the by the state or by the municipality or by the commune or whatever you want to say. So the church stepped in.
And Quebec too. I mean, until very, very recently, the church still provided that. It was only with Lesage, the government that came in the 60s, that the state began to take that role over. You know, so that's right.
Yeah.
But in France, no, it's done by the municipality, and very, very different. I was actually quite surprised because I expected to see more of a role of the church in France proper.
Yeah.
But
those people are so much older than us that the governments have stepped into education. Three centuries before we were even taught out, you know, and education and funerals and
And you see, the French Revolution was very much a socialist revolution. A lot of those things were almost socialist when we look at some of the things that.
Surely.
And of course, the French Canadians in Canada were separate from that.
Yes. Yes.
We were
on our own, so we had to develop our own tradition. We didn't even know what was going on in France. Eh?
No.
We were only left a few thousand here, and we had to develop our own mentality, our own traditions, our own...
And it's interesting in that, like, France went on and developed and evolved in a different way, and you almost end up sort of with almost, well, not really archaic, because they have been modified as well. But the practices that might be practiced in Quebec may well be more what was practiced in France at the time. There's a theory in history that when you have a group that sort of separates from another group, that there's like a splinter group that forms, they tend to take the language and everything else that's common amongst the original group at that time of this break-off.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened in Quebec, where you sort of become an isolated splinter group of that main community.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to develop in two different directions.
That's it. Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
And funerals, because it's such a basic part of culture, it's only normal that it would have developed in its own direction as well.
Yeah.
Quebec has far more the procession. It's much more typical to have a walking procession. Even in the rural area, you would still have that walking procession from the church to the cemetery.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And this is what Harold said. He said, only once, he said the procession is not common at all, even in the bars in the village. He said, only once from the Catholic church here in Lars, there was a fellow who had died, and a relative came, his closest living relative came, he was French and he came from Quebec. And he said they had the body in the hearse ready to go to the church. and from the home, and this fellow stepped out in front of the hearse, and he said to Harold, in broken English, "We walk." And he struck off down the road at a very slow, measured pace, and everybody
in front of the horses.
Yeah, so that everybody would fall in behind. You know, so there was just the horse and the hearse. But
maybe I've seen this in this village too once or twice, but you couldn't do it in the winter time.
No, no.
You know?
But it was in France. It was common
practice. Oh yes, it would.
Or in Quebec.
In Quebec.
Yeah.
I've seen funerals in Mexico. Where were we? I remember. I've seen a funeral. It was far. It was in one of the Spanish countries there, in a way. It may not have been. No, it wasn't Mexico, because we only went to Puerto Vallarta a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
It was on one of the islands.
Mm-hmm. The Dominican Republic?
Maybe? Dominican Republic, or maybe Costa Rica or something like that. And it was far from where we seen the procession, and the casket was in a little pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was walking down the street to the church, and from the church to the graveyard. I remember seeing that, and all the people were walking. But in the country here, the distance. Talk about distance.
Yes.
In this village, just going up the hill to our church there, you know, old people or something like that, you know.
We're a more motorized society.
And at that time, the big horse shed was behind the church, and people all came with horses and buggies, and they got off at the church. Unless somebody right in the village here on a fine day, they may have. I think I remember of seeing a walking procession maybe once or twice, but
it certainly wasn't the norm.
It wasn't a normal practice. If you came from 3 miles or 4 miles from the church, you can remember in France, you see, it's a much more populated, and most of the other countries much more populated, and the churches aren't that far, you know, and people are more used to walking. And the streets have been paved for centuries, and ours are just paved a few years ago. So walking in the mud or the snow wouldn't be proper.
wouldn't make sense, wouldn't be practical. What do you see as the role, you know, it's a tough question, you have to philosophize here, but what do you see as the role of the funeral for the community and for the society?
The role of the funeral. The role of the funeral, it's a group of people that get together and pray for the soul of the departed. That's the main.
So for you, it's the religious aspect.
It is, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Can you think of anything else related to this topic that you think might be interesting?
No, I don't think.
But as I say, some of these questions I ended up ditching.
Yes.
For the simple reason that everything's not going that direction. Best laid plans, you know.
Yeah. Well,
that's why you do
your difference that you were trying to.
I went in with a preconceived notion.
That there was a large difference between the Irish Catholics
and the French
Catholics.
Well, Irish generally and French generally.
Yeah.
But just to continue.
Now, I don't think there was any difference in Canada. Maybe if you go like the French and the Irish in Ireland and France, maybe you can see a lot of difference there. But
and I wonder if
here, because of the climate, because of the distances, maybe a lot of other reasons.
I wonder too how much by the time frame that we're looking at, because with all of the people I've interviewed, you know, we're looking at a time frame that roughly begins about 1920 and comes forward.
Okay.
And I wonder how much of that has sort of been watered down at that point, too. You know, the Irish were here and the French settled in 1860. You know, that's 80 years. So I wonder how much of it has
been. Yeah, but I think when you come to a strange country where there were so many few people at that mm-hmm. time, and the climate is so different and everything, a lot of the traditions, they have to go overboard, you know.
You adopt new practices.
You have to. You have to.
Yeah.
You know, like walking to a funeral. Mm-hmm. If you're on a farm 5 miles from the church.
And there's a howling blizzard.
And there's a howling wind. You forget about the procession.
Yeah. About the way they were dressing when they...
Mm-hmm. That's what I asked. Yeah? What did
they used to wear when there was a funeral at some place, they used to put something in the door?
Yes.
That's something that doesn't
get done anymore.
No.
Yeah. Well, people are not white at home.
No, well, that's it.
Oh, yes. They used to have a... black cloth and a crucifix that you'd hang on the door. Well, if strangers came, you knew that there was a wait there,
yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if peddlers came or something like that, well...
They knew not to go.
They knew not to go. But, that's one
and
thing.
And I remember when my grandfather died, my grandmother, she put a kind of a veil.
A veil.
Veil of some kind. And she wears that for maybe a year? 6 months.
Yeah.
Now and then after 6 months, or after a year, I think you start to wear a violet or purple or...
Yeah.
And
the women, I interviewed Sid and I asked him if there were special clothes. No. And Voda said, well, of course there were. We all had to wear black and you had to wear black for something.
Oh, yes. stockings and black. Oh, my God. And even the grandchildren were supposed to wear black. Yeah.
So that's gone now.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Long since? After the war? Did it stop after the war?
When your father died?
Not in 1940.
My mother died in 59. And when my father died in 49, we wear black dresses.
Yeah, you wore black dresses.
Do you remember when your dad died there? It was in the weekend holiday.
Yeah.
And we had to go to Rockland store and it was closed and he opened the store for me to buy a black dress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in 48.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, Harold was saying he used to keep a line of veils and ties and the sort of thing they always had available too for clients
who needed it. It's a good thing it's not like that anymore.
Yeah, well, things change.
Yes, it costs so much to buy dresses and you know.
Interesting. Well, stop this.